you'll open your Bibles with me. Romans 12, verses 10 through 13. Says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, and given to hospitality. Let us kneel as we pray today. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for all the blessings you have given us. Thank you for giving us Jesus and providing salvation for us. Thank you for a day we can take to enjoy with you and to reflect and to rest. And thank you for just being with us, oh Father. Thank you for bringing us to church to be with you. Please bless us as we enjoy the rest of the service. Be with Brother Mitchell, as he brings your word to us, bless us in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. What a beautiful, hot Sabbath it's going to be. Already air conditioning. How's everyone? My name's Ron Mitchell. I'm from the Ashland Seventh Adventist Church. Our pastor is still here, and he's told me he's going to be gone, so that's interesting. You get the... Maybe he's betting me. Let's see, we have Pastor Ron, Pastor Don, Pastor Fortuna, and an up-and-coming Micah that'll be a leader here in the future. So I know it'll be an interesting one. At the Ashland Church, we like to get our service started off right, and so if just take a moment and stand up and turn around at the folks behind you and give them a welcome this morning, just for a minute or two. We do it at Ashland every once in a while. Well, it gets the blood flowing, huh? Yeah, it's been a while since I've been here. Pastor, must have been before I had the stroke last year, wasn't it? I don't know. It's been at least a year. I had a chance to come by. So thank you for having me. You know, many people today, I mean, really, right now, July 15th, people are losing hope in this world. They really are. you turn on the crazy TV and you can see it. They're losing hope. And the joy of life is ebbing away at them. They feel hopeless. I mean, they're seeking, everybody seeks something. And they seek out and they try to work with all these battles that they're having in their lives. Memories of good times, you might say, are kind of fading away. While the expectations of experiencing the new ones are just gradually disappearing. However, there's good news this morning. When people are introduced to the love of Jesus, that opportunity to meet him, hope can spring alive. And that's what it's all about. It's about hope. I'd like to tell you this morning two stories in a format that might be a little different than what you normally would have from a message. It's in a format slightly of acting in a way, in dialogue. A dialogue of maybe in the way that these folks said it to somebody and told the story in a common language, in a common way. And what we can really look forward to personally, I know for me, is to hear those same stories someday in heaven with these people. If you'd like to turn to the first story with me, it's taken from Matthew, the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 4. So there's going to be times I'm going to be in the character of the person and then and in and out both ways, yeah. So this is kind of like maybe how it would happen, you might say. It was a rainy day. The rain was everywhere. Dark clouds. They filled the sky with these ominous looking, ugly looking weather. But it didn't have much of a concern to me. The pain in my body was excruciating. Pus even oozed from my body. From the sores, it was so miserable. The sores were all over me. I looked around the cave where we were forced to live, way up the mountains. And I saw others. They were kind of in various stages of the disease. The groans emanated here and there. And somebody turned and they bumped into me, pressing the sores, causing tremendous pain. But I was too tired to even get up. I was too tired. You know, the rain as it was coming down, and actually it was a blessing to me. It cooled the air, reduced the heat of the day. Oh, the little things. But you know, today was a very special day. I heard about a man called Jesus. They said that he was the Messiah. And it was said that he could heal anything. He could heal anybody. I was so excited. If I could only meet this man, I could be healed. It was said that he was a prophet. He was a prophet. He was sent from God. I told the others who was hanging out there in the cave. I told them, I said, come, let us see and go see the man. He could heal us from the disease. No, they only laughed at me. Only could ridicule me. Yeah, one said. He said, right, you're more crazy than you look. Be careful, when you get there, you might be stoned to death. It's better to keep quiet. It's better to keep yourself quiet and remain right here, he said. my church family, these people were cast off. They were cast off from loved ones, from their society. They had found comfort, you might say, comfort in each other. And they were content to spend the rest of their lives in the predicament that they were in. You might say they were in a stage of depression. They've lost all hope. A lot of people are losing hope. They were in a stage of despair. And the leopard said, I'm going to go see Jesus. I don't care what you say. Folks, there is a saying that misery loves company, doesn't it? You've heard that. Misery loves company. People love to keep you down with them. They'd rather keep you down rather than get up and seek help. They would rather hold you back from seeking help for yourself. It happens a lot. It was a long way to travel, but in my mind, it was short. It was a short distance to go see this man. Hope beat strongly in my heart. I could feel the pumping against my ribs, almost like a lion trying to escape from his cage. I heard a commotion before I saw him, though. I was so afraid as I shouted, "Leper! Leper!" And my bell rang to warn those around me that a leper was approaching them. But I wasn't about to turn around now. Not when I could be. I'm so close. I know I'm so close. I had to see Jesus. And then, all of a sudden, I did see him. I saw him. My knees became wobbly. I fell to the ground. And I worshiped the Messiah. It seemed like the whole world had stopped at that moment. I heard myself in a trembling voice say, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." My mind, it was black, it was void. I dare not think the things I was thinking as I waited for what seemed like an eternity for an answer from him. And then I felt a touch that took my breath away. A touch. I couldn't believe it. He touched me. And out of the darkness, out of the void, I heard him say, "I am willing. Be cleansed," he said. "Be cleansed." I felt a tremor run through my body. I felt this odd, strange sensation. The sores, they were gone. The white blotches, they were gone as well. I felt strong as an ox. I was truly healed. I was so, so happy. I was overjoyed. My life, it was changed in an instant. And now I can see a future for myself. Well, I wish the others were here. My feet and hands were no longer quiet. My hands went up. My feet went up. And they went up and down. And my mouth, it yelled praises to Jehovah. Shackled by a heavy burden. You remember the song, don't you? "Nay, the load of guilt and shame." Then the hand of Jesus touched me. And now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. And now I know. He touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleaned and cleansed and made me whole, I'll never cease to praise him. I'll shout it till eternity rolls. When Jesus saw me, he didn't see a leper. He saw a man. A man afflicted by a disease. A man with a history and a possible future. I became a whole person. I mean, he could have just spoken, you know, and I would have been healed. But he put the icing on the cake. He touched me. He went beyond that which was necessary. The touch of God was laid upon me, and he created in me a memory that would never be forgotten. My friends, you know, too often we group people, don't we? We group people, we give them labels. You know, you get these ones like homeless, beggars, druggies. Oh, he's a druggie. We'll say things like policemen, prostitutes, and yes, politicians. Somehow we seem to judge them, and we do it kind of like you would think collectively. They're all in that same group or something. We forget that people are people. Each person is an individual. A person that has a history. And we all do, don't we? We have history. We forget that they have memories. They have aspirations. A person who desires to be touched, to just be loved. A soul, definitely a soul to be reached for Jesus. And we should all be saying amen to that. The next story is in the book of John. If you can turn there. John chapter 9, and it's the very whole chapter, 1 through 41. It's a wonderful story. We find a lot of stories of Jesus healing people. Jesus did that more than he ever spoke. He healed. He touched people's lives. Again, as if the character in the story speaking. Pull up one of my newly painted chairs, if you would. Pull one up. Let me tell you a story. I think the paint's probably dry by now. You know, do you like the shade of yellow I picked out? Well, I wanted to start off by telling you I was born blind. I was born blind. I've never seen the light of day. I've never seen my mother's face. I've never seen my father's face. I had no idea what colors looked like. All I was familiar with was darkness, a kind of darkness that was darker than Indian ink. You know, sadly, people would look upon my parents and they would just start pointing their finger. They were sinners. They would even excuse them of having done something wrong in their lives, which resulted in me, being born blind. I thought God had made me blind in order to punish them somehow for their sins. I felt I was their punishment. This was a burden I lived with from I guess childhood. As time went along, I gained more and more of an understanding, and I realized my parents were looked down upon because of me. Their lives were limited because of me. And as they grow much older and they worried about what would become of me when they passed on, they had to take me everywhere, leading me by the hand. They don't have white canes, my friends. They don't have white canes with red color on the ends where I'm from. I can tell you, I had no dreams for myself, no aspirations. I resign myself to fate. I hope of becoming anything, anybody, anyone of significance. I didn't have any hope. I told myself, I will live. I will die. The blind man. You did not have to know my name. Just the blind man. I sometimes wondered if anyone would want to date me, let alone marry a blind man. Would I even ever have any children? My future seemed so bleak. One in which I always had to have someone somehow to depend on. It was so frightening at times. But let me tell you, this one day, I was sitting near the temple while Jesus passed by. He stopped and he bent over me. He took some clay and anointed my eyes. And he said to me, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. You know, I did exactly that. I did as he suggested. I went to the pool and I washed my face. And let me tell you, after I washed my face, I about fell into the pool. Light flooded my eyes. And this light collided with my brain. I struggled to even make any sense of what I was beginning to see. Everything in my eyes was consuming. I saw strange objects. They were all around me. I saw a woman. I saw a man. I saw kids. I saw them all. I saw green cheese, beautiful green trees. I saw dogs chasing cats, cats chasing dogs, cats chasing mice. I saw stone houses. I saw the dusty streets. I saw. I was astonished. I was so happy. I was exhilarated. My friends, I couldn't believe it. A whole new world was opened up to me. I saw unbelievable sights. And I had indescribable feelings. I jumped and I pranced and shouted and screamed. People saw me. And they asked, isn't that the guy that was born blind? How is it that he can jump and dance and run as if he can see? A crowd started gathering around me. And I can remember somebody asked, they said, how is it that you can see now? How is it? I said, a man called Jesus took some clay, spitted it, rolled it all up and put it on my eyes. And he said, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went to the pool and I washed. And now all I can say is I can see. And then they asked me, where is he? I couldn't tell them. I don't know where he went. I don't know where he left. These people were not rejoicing for me. No way. They didn't want to share really my joy. They had no idea of the impact of this experience on my memories. This moment was burnt into my brain, my friends, forever. But all they wanted to know was the reason for my weird behavior. I guess they probably saw that I just sat at the temple all the time. My friends, Paul says in Romans 12:15, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. These people seemed only to be interested in the source of my good fortune. Perhaps to see if they could maybe somehow benefit from it all. Yeah. My friends, this is a trap. We must not behave this way as Christians. We must be able to share the joys and sadnesses of others we come in contact with. We need empathy for them, compassion, but at the same time, celebrate with them when it's needed. We must break the stranglehold of selfish thoughts, and we have to have that stranglehold of desires broken. Selfish desires. When my answers didn't satisfy them, they took me to the authorities. Can you believe this? They took me to the authorities. Instead of allowing me to celebrate my newfound freedom, these people sought to dampen all the enthusiasm I had. And I had plenty for praising God. You know, folks, people will always judge you based on their experience. Found that to be true? They have not walked in your skin. They haven't felt your pain. They do not share your memories. But they believe that they know just how you should behave when God blesses you, though. Brothers and sisters, we must continually look for things to be thankful for, to celebrate. Life is far too short in a moody state of mind. And that's what it is. You're just a moody state of mind. I do remember it was the Sabbath day, though. The Pharisees took turns. Boy, did they ask a lot of questions, asking me one question after another. They asked, how did you receive your sight? What did he really do to you? What do you think about this man that healed you? You know, they weren't satisfied with the answers that I gave. Not at all. They called, or maybe they texted my parents. Not for sure. I don't know. But they either texted them or they called them to verify that I was their son who was born blind. My parents, sure, they verified it. And they came back to me again, saying, "What is the purpose of all this?" And I asked myself the same thing. What was the purpose of all this? Because of the miracle was done by Jesus, they were somehow looking for some reason, some pretext to just vilify it. All they could focus on was that he healed me on the Sabbath day. None of them, not a one, sought to express pleasure with me, to consider how this man must feel now that he could see. I concluded that I was physically blind, but now I can see. But these men, they chose to be blinded on what they saw and only what they heard. I didn't have, of course, the education that they had. I was not familiar with all the temple worship, let alone the Levitical law. I wasn't all that familiar with the ceremonial offerings, the sacrifices, that they were. But my friends, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus had healed me. I knew. They turned to me again, saying, "Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner." My friends, sometimes we allow our minds to be filled with bitterness, even hatred, I'll venture to say. Our memories are dark, and sometimes they can be very sinister, such that even in good, we seek to find only the bad in things. We feel that we are so important that no one deserves praise except us. They couldn't deny the miracles, the Pharisees. They couldn't deny them. So what did they do? They chose to attack the man. Well, I said, I don't know if he is a sinner or not, but I know one thing, that once I was blind, now I can see. I said, I've told you already, and you did not listen to me. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciple? Come on, you want to be his disciple? The people turned on me and they began to revile me and criticize me as if they knew me somehow. They said, "You his disciple? We're Moses. We're Moses' disciple. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we don't know where he's even from." I said to him, I said, "Well, you know, it's a marvelous thing that you don't know where he's from, yet he has opened my eyes. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. He could do nothing." And you know, my friends, they were stunned when I told them this. They knew it. They knew this. But, you know, they didn't have any answer for anything. Instead of taking the blunders on the chin, they turned to me and ridiculed me and said, "You were completely born in sin, and you're trying to teach us?" So what do? They kicked me out of the synagogue. Yeah. It was then, a short time later, I saw Jesus. He had heard of what happened to me and being kicked out of the synagogue. He asked me if I believe in the Son of God. Simple question. I asked him, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And he said to me, "You have both seen him, and it is he who's talking to you right now." I about fainted. I said to him, "Lord, Lord, I believe." And I worshiped him. I worshiped him. You know, again, he could have spoken and allowed me to see. You're not blind anymore. He could have said these things to me. But you know, Jesus took the longer route, increasing my suspense and allowing me to exercise my faith. Jesus is the master of exciting, exciting moments, creating those moments and lasting godly memories. You know, the last thing he said to me was, it's interesting the way he put it. He says, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind." I tell you, my friends, with my new two eyes, I saw some of the Pharisees that were hanging around Jesus ask him, "Are we blind also? Are we blind?" Jesus looked at him and said in a clear but very strong voice, he said, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now I say to you," yeah, "I say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains." Have you found that to be true? And some people, they can't see past their nose despite their face. It happens. We are sinners, all of us. My church family, as we struggle amid the many crises that we have, and that can be right in your own home, and it may someday be in your own home, strong. Paul says, stand up and be bold. But as we go through these crises, the floods, the crime rates, the storms, the fires, we have all this violence going on around us, the pandemics, and there's going to be more of them, more than likely. Causing all this suffering, the pain. It is wonderful to know that God is still at work. He's still working. He puts his big boy pants on and he listens to you every day. But you know what? A lot of blessings go untouched. Guess why? Because you don't ask. What's wrong with asking? Ask for blessings. For the day. He's the one who can use us to create lasting memories in lots of people's lives, whoever we come in contact with and whoever we meet. We cannot choose the person. Mm-mm. We can't even choose the method, my friends. But we can choose to obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit. In closing, the good news is that God is still in charge. So we can overcome natural blindness We can overcome traditional blindnesses, spiritual blindnesses, and touch a valued life. Our messenger, Mrs. White, had this to say. There are many to whom life is a painful struggle. They feel their deficiencies and are miserable and unbelieving. They think they have nothing for which to be grateful. Kind words, looks of sympathy, expressions of appreciation would be to many a struggling and lonely one as a cup of cold water to a thirsty soul. A word of sympathy, an act of kindness would lift burdens that rest heavily upon weary shoulders. And every word or deed of unselfish kindness is an expression of the love of Christ for lost humanity. That's taken from, and you can write this down, Thoughts from the Mount of Blessings. And that's in chapter 2 and page 23. My friends, today all I can leave you with is this. Make lasting godly memories. Amen. Shall we bow our heads? Father in heaven, you know our struggles. You understand us. You became one of us. We're truly brothers and sisters. But we have an inheritance. You told us that we do. I pray, Lord, that we can start that inheritance today by touching others with just a word of love. They'll see us, but really they'll be seeing you. Your character shining through. And like we talked this morning in Sabbath school, Lord, I pray that we will be true lightning rods. We don't have the power, you do. You say jump, we say how high. Lord, I pray that it'll be in our hearts today and every day, looking for that blessed hope of salvation. In Jesus' name.